This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Rushen and Noel. Let's look at how we're dealing with COVID-19. Now, in the past year and a half since the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic, scientific understanding of the coronavirus has evolved and continues to evolve. For example, we now have a better understanding that it can spread through aerosol transmission.
This means that we also need to modify our SOPs in keeping with the latest scientific evidence, and that there have been more calls within Malaysia for the government to adopt clear guidelines for ventilation to minimize the spread of COVID-19.
For a better understanding of what guidelines are needed, we're speaking this morning with Tan Sri Dr. Jamilah Mahmud, Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on Public Health. Tan Sri, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. So what is the latest scientific data on the transmission of COVID, and how has this changed previous understandings of how the virus spreads?
Good morning, everyone. From the time of the onset of the pandemic, there has been a lot of discussion about the role of aerosol transmission or airborne transmission of the virus. And you may recall an early study from China where people were seated in a restaurant, an indoor dining restaurant, and they reported that the cases that became positive were very much dependent on where they sat in relation to the air conditioning. So I think that triggered a more research. And then there's increasing evidence. And finally, WHO did endorse that transmission of COVID-19 is not just by droplets or contact, but very much also aerosol transmission. And this is really a game changer.
And what more can Malaysia do right now to adopt new guidelines into our SOPs?
Yes, there's so much we can do. You may have seen that, you know, people like me, Prof. Adiba and others have been calling out for clearer guidelines for our public to adopt. Now, we don't have to start from zero. There are already existing guidelines. WHO came up with a roadmap to ensure safe indoor ventilation. I think we can take that and use that, but it will have to be split down into not just guidelines for workplaces, but also home, as well as hospitals and quarantine centres.
So what do you think are the main challenges then when it comes to implementing ventilation guidelines, particularly, I mean, if we take a look at commercial buildings and workplaces, but not limited to just those?
Yeah, I think Malaysia, we have to accept and also recognize the very good work done by DOSH, the Department of Occupational Safety and Health. Now, because the pandemic is affecting every aspect of life, DOSH itself has, you know, its role in the Ministry of Health, where they can look into guidance for hospitals, quarantine centers, and so forth. But also the Ministry of Human Resources also has indoor air quality guidelines, which are really very good and, you know, comply with international standards. And then you also have Ministry of Housing that has to look into what guidelines it gives to people in residence, you know, in the flats, in houses, and so forth. So what we've been pushing for, and I'm very happy to say it will be ready soon, is that, you know, you need to take all this and package it so that every layer of our society understands, first of all, the importance of good ventilation to prevent the spread of the disease, and then secondly, what they can actually do, whether it's at work, at home, or at hospitals.
But beyond spreading that understanding, Tan Sri, should the government be incentivizing better ventilation measures through subsidies or other assistance measures?
I think the first thing we should do is actually enforce it. It's not just about subsidy first. I think for workplaces, that it has to be enforced, that you need to keep your workers in a very safe environment. And this requires some form of regulatory process where you actually go in and check some of these premises, especially when we know which are the likely you know, workspaces that will cause transmission of diseases when there's a high volume of people working in the same place, and so on and so forth. And in terms of incentivizing, it does not have to be expensive. I think I want to reiterate that it's not about, you know, some fancy gadgets that you need to buy, but understanding airflow within your own home, within your own office space, making sure windows are open, carefully positioning fans that, you know, can be helping you to ventilate the room better and push air, you know, in a certain direction, making sure that, you know, the seating arrangements in offices, in restaurants and so forth are, you know, going to help you with the ventilation. And finally, I want to say that we are so blessed with, you know, weather that is predictable the whole year. We're either hot or we're wet. So, you know, in terms of, for example, indoor dining, it's very important to you know, emphasize that if you eating outside and you make sure that people are spaced well, you have some form of perspex barrier or something, you can make, you know, restaurant dining possible. And one more thing I must say is with schools, it's very important to make sure children are safe in schools, and we've got to make sure windows are open, that there are fans, you know, blowing in a certain direction, additional fans, and where it's possible and affordable to put in really good, for example, UVGIs, the ultraviolet germicidal irradiation devices. This is being used worldwide now in hotel rooms, in office spaces and so forth.
Well, there are some easy fixes to the whole space, like in terms of airflow. But maybe some of the ventilation center systems are already quite old. So what's the estimated cost of increasing, what's the estimated cost increase for building owners to upgrade their systems, their ventilation systems?
I'm not an architect or an engineer, so I don't think I can advise you on that. But what I can say is that we organize a very good 1.5-hour webinar, and anyone can listen into it on Sense with Science. And we invited Shireen Hijaz, who is Serena Hijaz, who is an architect, and she actually talked in detail about this, about how there are different types of ventilation and air conditioning systems. And some of them, for example, the central air conditioning and so forth, are actually quite good because they do blow in external air as compared to split unit air conditioning and so forth. So I think that, you know, this is where we need the government to get everyone to work together, whether it's the Architects Association, the Engineers Association, the builders, to look at, you know, what are the types of situations we are having in Malaysia, and therefore what kind of guidelines we can then offer to our rakyat.
So Australia has come up with some guidelines on ventilation. What can we learn from their experience so far?
I think that Australia, US, UK, everywhere, because there's an acknowledgement of aerosol transmission, and you may have seen this very scary report about even people passing each other in a certain, you know, space can actually get the disease. I think they have implemented guidelines quite in line. In fact, it is in line with the WHO roadmap on indoor ventilation. So I think, as I said before, we don't have to start from zero. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I'm quite sure that I understand next week we will have it, that this will be something in line as well with the WHO guidelines. But irrespective of whether the guidelines from Malaysia are out, we can download the WHO guidelines. You know, responsible employers, house owners, whoever, just look at it, that some very practical approaches that you can take and start implementing it now.
Tansri, we've got about a minute and a half left now. You've also spoken about treating COVID-19 as an endemic, and this is something that's become more and more, I guess, of a hot topic recently. What is the discussion with government task forces on this? Are there plans to draw up a roadmap similar to what Singapore is doing?
Yes, I think I've been saying this for the longest time, that we have to learn to live with COVID-19. Of course, the circumstances in Singapore and Malaysia are very different. They don't have as high a number of cases as we do. So, you know, while we prepare this roadmap, as you say, we need to also make sure that we have the pandemic under control. In simple terms, I would say that we need to agree that there will be a threshold that we can live with, and that we must never, and I repeat, I will say we must never think that we can only get back to normalcy if we have zero cases. I think this would be, you know, it wouldn't happen, because the way the virus is mutating and evolving, it's always one step ahead of us. We will, you know, it's all pointing towards the fact that it's likely to turn into an endemic disease, just as dengue is. And we've learned to live with dengue. We have to learn to live with COVID-19. It may require us to have booster shots, annual vaccinations. It will require us to have, good ventilation, as I mentioned earlier. It also requires us to have safe hygiene practices, the things we do, washing our hands regularly, making sure that we are masked in crowded and indoor places. I think these are all very important things. You must also acknowledge that as a result of the pandemic, and I'm not saying that I prefer the pandemic, that even infectious diseases like influenza and other diseases have fallen because we've masked up, we've washed our hands, we've kept a safe distance. So it's about living with the virus.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Tan Sri. That was Tan Sri Dr. Jamila Mahmood, Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on Public Health, giving us some insight into some of the measures that can be taken, particularly also in office spaces, to prevent clusters of COVID-19. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.